Welcome to Inspiration at Work, where you will hear from business leaders from around the world on what they are doing at work and through work to make the world a better place. This is the most positive talk radio show on the planet, where we have evicted the tenets of cynicism and criticism and set up residence on Inspiration Boulevard, right in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia. And now, your host, America's Chief Inspiration Officer, Terry Barber.
Welcome to another edition of Inspiration at Work. We are so excited that you're here. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening in. We have a couple of guests here in the studio that we're going to really hear some great inspiring kinds of great inspiring activities from. And the first of which is Lindsay Barber. Lindsay, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
And then Mr. A.B. Short.
Hi, Terry.
Great to have you here.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
And A.B. Short is the co-founder and the CEO of a wonderful nonprofit based here in Atlanta, but has global impact, called MedShare. And Lindsay works at MedShare also and kind of heads up the volunteer services group. And we're going to talk to Lindsay very specifically in a minute about what's involved in that. But to begin with, A.B., I would love to hear your story about your idea, how this came to be, a little bit about your background and what your heart is towards this.
Well, I'll be glad to share that. You'll have to cut me off because I start talking. I may go a little long on that. But, I originally started off life to be a minister. Went to seminary and went that whole route. This is back during the 60s and grew up in the southern part of the country in Mississippi. And ran afoul, really, with my church in terms of I had a much more progressive view toward race relations than was the dominant attitude at that point. And ended up just not working out for me in that way. So went into business, sales, a number of things, but always had that tugging in my heart that I want to do something more than make money and be successful in the traditional sense. And it was in the late 70s, that I discovered the nonprofit structure, nonprofit organizations, a way that I could bring my skills and my heart to doing good. And came to Atlanta and began working with the Atlanta Community Food Bank. And that was my first exposure to a major nonprofit was with the Atlanta Community Food Bank.
Now, were you doing that as a volunteer or you were an employee?
I was an employee, yeah. Bill Bowling was a founder, and at that point the organization was very small and housed at St. Luke's Episcopal Church on Peachtree Street in what we used to call a dungeon. And I was one of the early employees with Bill. And my responsibility was work with corporations to get donations of food.
That was good background.
Absolutely. And it was good also learning warehousing because we eventually moved into several larger spaces and set up warehousing, so I learned something about warehousing. One of the interesting things in seminary, I went to seminary in New Orleans, and the best money for a seminary student to get as a part-time employee somewhere was to join the Teamster Union and work on the docks and load trucks, unload trucks, and I did that during seminary and never thought it would connect to the rest of my life. But obviously at the food bank, that experience paid off, and then later in life at MedShare, it surely did pay off also.
Well, pretty interesting background that has really set you up for this thing you call MedShare. So talk to us about its birth, its beginning. It's not that old, right?
No, but we're about 12 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fairly new. Let me get a little intro into that. After working at the food bank, I founded, through a local church, actually, in Decatur, a homeless work, hospitality ministry, we call it. And then out of that, with a friend, Bob Freeman and I, we founded a restaurant called Cafe 458, which is a upscaled, by reservation only, restaurant, menus, fresh flowers, wait staff for homeless people. And so out of that experience of working with Bob Freeman, who was a very successful businessman who kind of cashed out early and was given the rest of his life to nonprofit work, we developed this friendship. And then later on, the idea of starting MedShare was planted by a friend of mine who was a financial planner, knew I liked to start things, and he said, you know, AB, there's the same kind of surplus in the U.S. healthcare system that there is in the food system, and you have food banks everywhere dealing with that surplus, but there's very few organizations that are dealing with a surplus in the healthcare system. And he said, with your background in food banking, your background in starting nonprofits, great opportunity to start something to address the surplus in the healthcare system in the Southeast. I thanked him for his suggestion and didn't do anything for 4 years. At least and didn't do anything around that.
It was a seed, though.
It was.
That was germinating right. deep within.
Yeah, yeah. And in hindsight, if I had started work to start MedShare when that idea was planted in 1994, it would not have worked because the technology that we needed to do what we're doing now so successfully didn't exist in 94. And so it's one of those things in hindsight and timing, you know, was right in 98, not in 94. Now, I didn't know all of that. It's only in hindsight that I realized that it was right to wait and start it in 98.
Very interesting. So you really are, at your heart, you're a social entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's a term, you know, everybody's liking to use now.
I like the term.
Yeah, I feel okay claiming that. I think my gifts and my energies are on the startup side. And I'm in the process of leaving MedShare, by the way. My own sense is that entrepreneurial leadership carries you to a certain point, and then you need different skill sets to grow the organization to the next level. And so at my own encouragement, the board has initiated a process to do succession planning and find a replacement for me probably later this year.
That's courageous.
Courageous, stupid, I'm not my wish. There are days I look at it and I go, what am I thinking? I have a very nice job, I'm paid well, I'm generally happy. Why am I walking away from this? But I really think it's in the best interest of MedShare on the long term to bring in new skills, new energy, and I'm excited for the growth of MedShare in the future.
Yeah, what a great lesson in leadership. That principle in and of itself is know exactly when it is that you're to leave and to have a plan in place for succession.
Well, we have the succession plan. What I don't have is a personal plan in terms of what I'm going to do. What am I going to do next?
Seems like you've operated in faith before, though, AB.
I kind of just bumble along the road. Yeah, I have.
Interesting. So, okay, now let's talk about MedShare. Here it is. You've got this idea. You've begun to create an organization that takes the surplus from medical supplies and meets the needs of the world. How does all that come together?
Mm-hmm. There really is a tremendous amount of, and I like the word surplus instead of waste. There's a tremendous amount of surplus in our healthcare system, and it's not by design in terms of people are wasteful and want to be wasteful, but there's a lot of factors that create this surplus. And what we realized through our due diligence was a tremendous need in an international setting for the basic things that we basically put in our landfill. So MedShare developed a system with local healthcare institutions, all the hospitals in the metro Atlanta area and elsewhere, and then also manufacturers and distributors to reclaim this product that still has value. And then use of volunteers to repackage it, evaluate, identify it, all of this kind of stuff, and get it ready to donate overseas. The distinguishing factor between MedShare and other organizations historically that was doing this kind of work, historically people push product out. They operate on the assumption that they, the poor, are so poor that they can use anything and everything. So if I've got it and it's still usable, let's throw it toward them. We were challenged early on during our due diligence time to come up with a concept of a pull mentality instead of a push mentality, where people order from us. So the difference is we have a web-based inventory, and if you're a hospital administrator in Uganda or wherever, you're given a login and password, and you order out of our 12 to 14,000 item inventory. So every shipment, every 40-foot tractor trailer load is custom pulled just for that hospital. So we're not wasting product hoping it will be used. We know it's going to be used because it was chosen for that particular shipment. I know it's a long rambling there, but that's a distinguishing. Well, it's a business model, which if you think about it, any business that's creating a product wants to know what the customer needs. And you create the product to meet that customer's need, and that's what you do. Well, why would it be any different than a nonprofit?
What a novel idea.
Yeah, you're right, right. So we just brought good business principles to this sector of medical supplies.
So is there a limit geographically? If there's a healthcare system, a hospital, who mm-hmm. wants to contribute mm-hmm. to MedShare, are there boundaries or are there parameters in terms of the geography?
We have a distribution center here in the metro Atlanta area, and we have one in California. Our second operation is in the Northern California and San Francisco area. We have hospitals around the country that send us product. We ask that they go through a training process with us first, and we can do that remotely, so they know what we can use and what we cannot use. We want to be careful that we don't use their limited resources, staff, money, transportation costs, and everything, to send something to us that's going to be wasteful. So we want to have a dialogue. But, yes, we have hospitals around the country that do send product to us, and they've gone through a little training with us to know what we can use and not use.
Very good, because I know for a fact we have a lot of healthcare listeners a part of our show.
Yeah.
And I would just say to them, here's a great appeal to make a connection in order to be able to contribute to an incredible cause.
Yeah, and our website has a section on donate product gifts. It's generally called Gift in Kind. So they could go to our website, which is just medshare.org.
Okay.
And they could find a link there to how to make product donations to us.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about some fun stuff. Not that that's not, but in terms of creating energy, one of the things that I love about the model is how much you get people involved.
Absolutely.
And it's really fascinating to me that, unlike a lot of organizations, quite frankly, who are desperate and need the money, it's not that you don't, but you've got something that that people can do beyond just writing a check.
Absolutely. There are multiple levels of way people can get involved with MedShare, and it's just not simply donating product or writing us a check. They can get their hands dirty and get their themselves involved in hands-on sorting and packaging of product. Plus, there are other opportunities for the business community to be involved. But maybe this could be an opportunity for Lindsay to talk about how she coordinates that 1,000 volunteers that we have a month.
Wow. How many?
Right around 1,000 volunteers a month come through to help us to sort and package these supplies so that they can be matched up with the exact needs of recipients.
So where do you find these volunteers? They just show up?
They're going to come from a few different avenues. There's a large body from the collegiate community here in Atlanta. We also have religious and community groups that come through and will volunteer together. But then we also have a third sector of corporate groups who come together and they want to have maybe a team building activity. But no, you know, they maybe don't want to do something where they walk away and that's the end of it. But they want to have a real impact. And so they'll be able to come through. And then it's really a great opportunity for them because not only are they, you know, engaging with one another as they're sorting these supplies around the tables within, you know, their own distinct teams and things like that. But they walk away with this extra bond, almost having known that together they've been able to have this really great global impact, as well as the impact on the environment even here in Atlanta.
So here's a business, and they would love to get involved in a so-called team-building kind of activity. But on the other side of that, there's great good that comes out of it, making the world a better place. So tell me, describe to me what it looks like in the morning when a group of volunteers comes in. What is going on? What's in their heads? How do you sort through that? And what does it look like once they get engaged?
Well, so when groups first get there, we always like to start by giving them just a brief tour and orientation, because for them it goes so far beyond even just the supplies they may be sorting out there in the sort room. But I want them to be able to see the big picture so they can know the full impact of their time that day. So once they're able to see the way that what they're doing that day fits into the rest of the organization, then they'll come through and gather around their tables. They'll be trained up. It doesn't matter if they have medical background. Doesn't matter if they know what a single one of those items is called and especially how it's used. We have volunteer program staff that can train them and equip them so they can feel completely confident and know that they've got a good idea about what they're doing. So once that's done, then they'll usually sort for a couple of hours, and then we'll do a group wrap-up at the end where they know total boxes made, total pounds that have been saved from landfills, as well as where those boxes may be going in the next few weeks even, so they can have this real tangible connection to the lives that are on the other side. So
it's ownership when it's all said and done.
Absolutely.
Can you see the changes on their faces, just their countenance from the time they get there to the time they leave?
For sure. I think that one of my favorite moments for us is when we go from, you know, the general sorting area into this warehouse, and then you just see their jaws drop when they realize the full scope of this operation and all of the waste that could be in landfills that instead is going to be used to save lives around the world. And then beyond that, you know, at the end, then you hear stories time after time of groups who come to you and say, "This is the most meaningful volunteer opportunity I've ever done. I've never been able to participate in something where I can walk away with just the rewarding sense of knowing that there's going to be a life saved because of the time that I spent doing this activity."
Is it a half day, a whole day?
It's usually
days?
About 3 hours at a time.
Okay, so a group would come in, they'd be involved for 3 hours, mm-hmm. have a great experience, good team building kind of activity, mm-hmm. walk away having made a difference in the world.
Absolutely.
So I understand you've had some real famous volunteers come through.
We've had some fun groups come through. We have had a few from the Atlanta Braves have come through. We've had Miss Ghana has come through and volunteered with us. But there are also, you know, other companies that like to come through that might be more well-known. So Coca-Cola has been a fantastic supporter, both through donating the funds we need to get these containers out the door, helping us identify recipients around the world, and sending out entire teams to come and sort and package supplies.
And one other corporate partner that has been with us almost from the beginning was Kimberly Clark, who obviously has a corporate headquarters here in the metro Atlanta area. And they really have a very, very strong commitment to improving the quality of healthcare in the developing world where they have business investments. And what they realize, and I give a concrete example in Guatemala, they realized that the local hospital where their employees were going for services was completely inadequate. So KC began to invest in that local hospital, and then they found MedShare and said, oh, my gosh, we can partner with MedShare. You guys know how to do it, and we'll help support you improve health care in the areas where we got business investments. And everybody wins in that arrangement.
That's beautiful.
You know, they get good PR out of it. Their employees in these countries get better health care. MedShare benefits by having a president of their division on our board of trustees. Their foundation financially supports us. So it's just a win-win for a corporation and MedShare that join forces to improve the quality of healthcare in the developing world.
And certainly gives employees something to really rally around.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that makes Kimberly Clark such an ideal partner, because then not only is their organization as a whole helping to send these supplies, they're donating the supplies, but the employees just invest so much in coming out and giving their time. There's even a group of, you know, retired employees from Kimberly Clark that have been coming once a month every year for the past, you know, 6 to 7 years even. And so it's just really beautiful to see such an all-around commitment and investment into what they believe in.
And our business partners don't all have to be major corporations like Coke and Kimberly Clark. There's a local company here in the metro Atlanta that their business is basically to go in and freshen up the hospitality industry, hotels, lobby space, this type of thing, and that's at work. They came to us and said, look, would you like for us to freshen up your break room? And we said, of course. So they put their whole design team on it. They went out and bought all new appliances, new cabinets. They ripped the whole place apart, new flooring, new ceiling. And that was their business investment in MedShare, was to create a break room that was up to date. And, of course, the volunteers use it as well as the staff. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways for the business community to get involved at MedShare. Yeah.
And PDSI, it was really neat for that group that AB is talking about, because not only did they want to invest the areas of their expertise there in the break room to help us in the long run, but they also wanted to make a difference in the sort room and preparing the supplies. So they kind of had a dual impact that day.
Yeah. So big or small, there's a place, there's an opportunity for business to come get involved in to have an impact. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, AB, you and I were speaking earlier before the show about some of the transitions relative to leadership, people, talent that came from the business world that are now giving their time, their profession, some of them even in an employment kind of status. Talk to us a little bit about that, because there are people out here who are kind of halftime in their life.
Yeah, I think MedShare has developed and grown the way it has because we, you know, in a miraculous way, attracted a board of trustees that was very unique for the size and startup of our organization. And I think of one particular staff member who was almost an employee, Pat Robinson, who at one point in her life was president of one of the Mead Corporation divisions. And I think she got to a place in her life, and I hope this doesn't embarrass you, Pat, that she was looking for more out of life than the success she obviously had in her business life, and began to look for a nonprofit to get involved in, and fell in love with MedShare. What she brought to us was not only her enthusiasm, but her skills as a really good strategic thinker. So she has led MedShare in its strategic planning process probably for 8 or 9 years now. And it's almost like having a full-time business director on staff to help us and those kind of skills. Another board member was very successful business man, grew a major national company, and is retired, but still had lots of energy. And he brought his expertise of how to expand and replicate, because that's what he did in his business. So when we got ready to look at replicating MedShare, he helped us and guided us toward the California expansion. And we are now in the process of looking at opening up in the mid-Atlantic area and also in southern Florida. So
amazing story. And there is no telling how much talent is sitting out there on the sidelines, kind of at halftime in their life, And I don't want to just open the floodgate, but are these the kind of people you'd be interested in talking to?
Absolutely. We'd love to have a conversation. You know, and again, I don't want to promise things you can't deliver.
Sure.
But there are opportunities at MedShare where people can come in and consult with us on a particular project where they got expertise, whether it's in logistics or whatever, that we need, you know, good business minds to help guide us. I mentioned we're looking at expansion into two other regions, and we don't have the financial nor the human capital to do that. And we're going to have to put that capital together probably with some real strong volunteers from the business community. I mean, we got to find real estate, say, in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. And I'm sure there are people out there who say, hey, I know that area. I can help you find real estate that makes sense for a warehouse or a distribution center. Same and true in Florida. So there's some opportunities to have some conversations.
Well, I love that, because whether it turns into anything that has to do with employment or not is irregardless of the fact that they have an opportunity to come and use their gifts, to use their talent to make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
Lindsay, AB, tell us again, how can people reach you?
Well, if there's a group that's interested in coming through to volunteer, then again, you can find all the information on MedShare's website, again, MedShare.org. But you could also email me directly at volunteer@MedShare.org, and we can be able to set up a time for you to be able to come in. If you're looking in donating maybe other products or helping in another way, then there's all kinds of different avenues that you can find there on the website to be able to direct you through the right path.
And my email address is on the website, but it is abshort, no periods or spaces, abshort@medshare.org, and would love to hear from folks.
Okay, wonderful. It has been an incredible show. Thank you so much for coming here and being a part of Inspiration at Work. And we're just so grateful. We want to promote and plug and cheer you on in any and every way possible. So for that, we look forward to all the kinds of neat reports that we'll get back from people who are coming and donating and giving their time as a result of just listening to the show today. You've been listening to Inspiration at Work today with Lindsay Barber and AB Short from MedShare, and your host here, Terry Barber. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time at Inspiration at Work. And until then, keep inspiring.
You have been listening to Inspiration at Work on the GII Network with your host, Terry Barber. Find us on the web at www.inspirationboulevard.com and follow us on Twitter @Inspiration Boulevard.